Good morning. So this morning we are reading from Genesis chapter 2, verse 1 to 6. And we're covering the subject of areas to still grow in. And this is the final section of how to measure your earth suit, right? In terms of the general needs. Now, God, where do you want me to start? Okay. So for you to put this section into context, you need to go back and look at everything that we've done so far. Now, if you haven't done this entire series, you're going to benefit so much from going and starting this from the beginning. And if you do one a day, it's approximately a 2-year, potentially 3-year series, right? And there's 260 odd in the first, how to measure your spirit, 220 or so in how to measure your emotions, and there's around about 220 in how to measure your earth suit, right? So that's quite a bit. But what does it do? Because you start off by measuring your spirit, right? And the most critical thing for you to do is to survive spiritually, emotionally, and physically, right? But when you look at your spirit, you need to do your spirit survival, your basic needs, and your general needs, because that is the core of who you are. Then you step into your emotions, and your emotions is the detection mechanism to pick up what's going on in the spiritual world around you, right? And that has a survival section, a basic section, and a general section. And then you get into your external that everybody can see, that you see in the mirror, which is your earth suit. It has its own onboard computer. We call that a brain. And it can pretty much function on its own. But the idea is for you to give your heart to Jesus so that your spirit can be able to run this machine the way it was designed to be run. Right? We lost those capabilities at the fall. Jesus gives them back to those who accept him when he gives them a brand new spirit, right? And then as you go through your physical earth suit, the survival needs, the basic needs, and the general needs, you then get to the point whereby, oh, I've got it all. I've done it all. I know everything that I need to know. Well, not quite, because all of those things that you've done so far are still either growing or they are kind of being forgotten. And you need to go back and revisit this again and again and again, right? Now, if you've been making your notes, you will be in for such a treat. Because you will go through and you will see how Holy Spirit has been changing you, growing you, etc. And that's fantastic, right? You want to see that you are growing as a spirit. You want to see that your emotional side, in terms of you being able to pick up what's going on around you, you know, able to control so many of the things that you weren't able to control before. You can look at that and you can go, Holy Spirit, that's helped me so much, yeah. And then you also can have a look at physically how much better you've actually been doing from a physical perspective, right? Now, you will discover areas that you have grown in, and then you will, when you do it a second time, you'll see, oh, I've grown in that. And then you'll notice some things that when you do it again, you go, oh, I've forgotten all about that one. And that one I'm not growing in. I need to do that one again. right? And so there's an element of constantly revisiting. Now, the same way as when you go to school, in the beginning, you first learn your alphabet. Then you start to learn how to put the letters into words. Then you learn to put the words into sentences, then the sentences into paragraphs, and the paragraphs into essays. It's an ongoing level of deepening and strengthening, right? So each time you do this, you're going to have exactly the same thing. Now, this does not replace your daily reading of the Bible. Okay, it doesn't. You don't watch little pieces of a movie and then think that you understand what's going on. So, you read your Bible cover to cover, and every day you are reading a portion of your Bible. You're either reading it or you're listening to it. And as you know, I only trust the Old King James Bible, which if you want a copy, you're welcome to get one for free. They are out of copyright. And you can download one from multidimensionalthinkers.com/a-life-is-worth. Worth is spelled W-O-R-T-H. a-life-is-worth-living. And you can go onto that URL and you will see that it says the Old King James Bible. Click on that. You can click on the Bible itself, Old King James Bible 1611. Or you can go into the different podcasts and listen, and you can download those files, right? And to download a file, you'll notice that as you click play, there's a little screen that comes up, and there are three dots on the right hand side. Click on those and you'll see the option to download. Click on the download and you'll be able to download that, right? The same thing for the files. You've got PDF, they will open up as PDFs and you'll be able to store those. Those two don't have the italics in, so you can read it and trust what you're reading. And you do need to have accepted Jesus Christ into your heart. You do need to have made a decision for Jesus to live his way. You do need to have apologized to him for all the sin that you have committed in the past. You do need to commit to no longer doing those things and do your best not to, right? It's not okay to make mistakes. It's not okay because Jesus gets punished each time you do, so don't do that, right? Then you will also need to be baptized, and you'll need to ask Holy Spirit to come into your heart. Holy Spirit will explain exactly what is going on with the Bible when you read it, right? And people say, oh, I can't read this old language. No, your brain can't read the old language. Your spirit totally understands it. So just read it and you'll suddenly get it. Normally it takes about 2-3 weeks and all of a sudden, because you've persevered, God can see that you are persevering. He opens up the Bible so that you can read it. Right? Now, the Bible will stay closed until you have forgiven everyone. You have to have forgiven everyone of everything. And once you do that, the Bible opens up. It's a spiritual book, right? It's not just a book. So, it's important that you remember that none of this replaces your daily reading of the Bible. As you go cover to cover, beginning Genesis all the way through to Revelation, then you start again. And you keep doing this your whole life, right? But this work, in terms of how to measure your spirit, is going to grow you immensely in terms of providing you understanding and context of so many things that don't necessarily make sense when you're reading it, right? And now we get to areas to still grow in. Okay. Areas to still grow in is a physical earthsuit general need. It rests on you having done the following. Spiritually, you need eternal salvation. You need to be praying. You need to have your quiet time with God. You need to have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And you need to have forgiven everyone. Right? You then need to receive and give encouragement. You need to have prayer partners. You need to be part of group Bible study. You need to have problems for spiritual exercise. If you don't have problems, your spirit's not going to be working, right? And then you need to understand God's will for you. Notice that's coming way down the line, right? Generally speaking, for spiritual, you need friends. You need to understand and manage your desires. You need to understand the spiritual world. You need to be in constant dialogue with Jesus. And then only do you get a ministry. If you're not strong in all those other things, your ministry will fail. It will hurt people. You need to establish everything before you go into ministry. Now, does that mean that you don't help other people? No. You need to help people, serve other people, etc. But you don't become a leader in terms of a ministry without having all these other things in place. You will wind up falling and failing, right? So once you're spiritually there, emotionally, you need to be making sure that you're doing these things too. Now, what are the things that you need from a survival perspective emotionally? You need the ability to cry and laugh. You need the ability to forgive yourself. You need someone to talk to, someone who loves you, and someone to love. There are many scriptures that you read through where you get so much context and insight about who actually really loves you already. And where are people that you can love? Emotionally, on a basic needs level, you need a clear conscience. You need encouragement. And this is now from an emotional perspective. Remember, we had encouragement from a spiritual perspective. Now we've got encouragement from an emotional perspective. So it's a clear conscience, encouragement, someone who will listen without judging, someone who lovingly shows you your faults, someone who accepts you exactly as you are. Then from a general needs perspective, from an emotional side, you need a listening ear to which you can unload, peaceful environment to recharge, someone you can help, the ability to control your emotions, the ability to detect the spiritual atmosphere through your emotions. And then from a physical perspective, in terms of a survival need, you need to have entered the world, right? It's birth and all the things relating to birth. Then you need to be able to breathe. You need shelter. You need water. And then you need to be able to extract nutrition. Now, extracting nutrition is different from simply having nutrition in your food. You can have very nutritious food, but be unable to extract the nutrition, right? Now, in truth, if you have not done the right things in your body, you won't get the nutrition, even if it's there in the food, right? So you need, for example, to have water to be able to extract that nutrition. You need to be able to not be living in fear to be able to extract that nutrition properly, right? Then from a physical earthsuit basic need, you need clothing, you need health, you need exercise, you need a sound mind, you need a working body. And then from a physical earthsuit general need, then you need friends. You need to have your desires met. You need to know what those desires are. And of course, all of this relates back to what your emotional needs are and what your spiritual needs are, right? Then you need knowledge. Then you need intelligence. And only then do you need to understand what physical areas to still grow in. So there's a lot going on here. And it takes a couple of years to get through this. But you will have grown so much by the end of this, right? You will have grown so much by the end of this. So, all right, so the first thing in terms of areas to still grow in is Genesis chapter 2, verse 1 to 6. So when God created everything, He created all the different parts of the universe, galaxies, the star systems, the planets, the moons, the asteroids, and so many other things like comets and all the rest of it, and everything He knows and controls and understands what's going on, all the way down to the smallest piece of space dust that is sitting on the outer edge of the universe, and all the way down to the smallest particle of the smallest atom in your body. He is fully in control of all of these things, right? But He will allow you to mess them up. He will allow you to do that because He created you to take care of things. And He needs you to learn. And He's going to allow you to learn by the hard mistakes if you don't want to listen, or by guidance from those who have already been through the Bible. And guess what? The more you read the Bible, the more you actually discover these amazing truths that help you to take care of these things, right? And this series helps you to unearth some of those. Right, so the very first thing that we start with is what God has done, right? God has created us a space, a place within which we can grow. He's created that. And here we see how it starts, because He's created in a number of dimensions, right? So, chapter 2, verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended His work which He had made. And He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had made. Right, so God creates everything, but then He creates something called rest, right? Your physical earth suit needs rest. It needs to have its rest, okay? But you can get this horribly wrong, because it goes on and it says there in verse 3, and God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it He had rested from all His work which God created and made. Right. Here we have a problem, because He not only blessed it, but He also sanctified it. What did He mean by sanctified it? So all the way through everything that God had created so far, He had blessed the animals, He blessed the birds, He blessed the people, right? And He told them to be fruitful and multiply, right? But when He creates the seventh day, this day of rest, when He creates this, it says here, and God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. In other words, He set it apart. He made it something different. Now, in this day of rest, this is where your spirit and your soul and your body actually get to experience supernatural rest. I was talking to the Lord about this the one day. I said, okay, well, Lord, my rest day is Sunday. He said, okay, well, if I said to you that you can shower any day of the week, but I only put the soap in the shower on one of those days. Which day are you going to choose? So I said, well, clearly the one with the soap in it. He said, okay. He said, so I get to decide which day that is. I said, well, of course you get to decide that. He said, well, I decided that right in the beginning in Genesis. I've never changed my mind. Jesus kept every single Sabbath as it was, and that never changed. When the Gregorian calendar came along, the Sabbath, as kept by the Jews who I gave that instruction to, they kept it, but the Gregorian calendar made that the Saturday. Right? And the Saturday was their last God. That was their seventh day. So they agreed initially that Saturday was the seventh day. And Sunday, because that was their biggest God, was the first day of the week. That's how it was initially set up. The Pope then changed that just after 300 AD. The Pope changed that, and he made the day of rest the Sunday. He changed that, right? God never changed it. God can't change. And so ever since then, the Christians who were following the Pope and not the Christians who were following the Bible, because there were a lot of Christians that were simply following what was written, right? The Christians who were following the Bible were persecuted. The Christians who were following the Pope were allowed to live. And this is how the day of rest changed to Sunday. But it didn't work very well. So what they said is, okay, the day of rest can still be Saturday, but the day of worship is going to be Sunday. Right? Well, Jesus is with us. The day of worship is every day. If you're a child of God, you are worshiping the Lord every day. So it's not a fancy thing to have worship on a Sunday. The day is irrelevant as far as worship is concerned. In fact, it should be every day. But when the Pope turns around, which he's about to do, and makes the day of rest Sunday, and then wants to enforce it, then we are back to this initial time again. And that's when Christians are going to have to say, I will make sure that I do things God's way. Now notice something. This day of rest is in Genesis chapter 2, verse 1. I heard somebody put it this way, and I think it's absolutely accurate. I know the God you serve by the days you keep, by the days you celebrate, then I know who you really serve. And if you are not keeping God's day, God's Sabbath, it's not that you're not keeping the God of the Jews, it's that you're not honoring the Creator of all things, including yourself. And that is just rebellion, right? So, your first area to grow in is keeping the Sabbath, resting on God's day, honoring and acknowledging that He is the Creator of everything. Right. So, let's continue with verse 4. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and not a man to till the ground. So we're talking about before God created man, right? So this is before the sixth day, right? there was no rain, but there's also no man to till the ground. So how did this work? But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. So this mist comes up. Now we know that mist will come up from something when the ground is hot. When the ground is hot and the atmosphere is a bit cooler, you will get this mist coming up. Right? Now, it also means that there must have been a lot of water vapor. Now, we know that after a planet goes through a major disruption, where all the volcanoes go off, where so much magma is flowing, everything is superheated and overheated, then you will get to a situation whereby this molten lava ball can't keep the moisture and the water within that heated environment. So all the water is now outside of the environment. It's either on the surface or it's in the atmosphere. And so when you have a look at the 6 days, right, because there's a 12,000 year cycle, right? It took 6 days before man was on the planet. And it's within that sixth day that man did get on the planet. Right? We've since had another 6,000 years. And we have a star system that comes around every 6,000 years or so. Sometimes it comes close and it doesn't do too much damage to our planet. And sometimes it comes really close. And in those times, it absolutely overheats and destroys the planet and effectively wipes out everything and God starts again, right? This is how he has created things. Our Bible starts off with the words, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void." So that word "was" is not correctly translated. It should read "became." And so it should read like this: "And the earth became without form and void." Right? And it was totally empty. It was not in proper form. It was messed up. Right? And if another major body comes really close to this earth and comes past it, it's going to spin it into all sorts of directions and really mess up this Earth's shape. Because remember, we are floating in space, right? So there's nothing to really keep our crust in place, excepting if it's nice and stable. But it's not going to be stable, right? And so we're going to go back into this cycle again, right? And so we're going to go back into this cycle again. Now, notice something, right? This water vapor is in the atmosphere. God will create all the different things that he wants to create it, but he will also bring things from outside. Everything is his. Everywhere, everything is his. We can only see the physical dimension with our physical eyes. Spiritually, we can pick up on the spiritual dimension with our emotions. But in reality, there is so much going on that we actually cannot see, right? It's like a baby in the womb. You can't see outside what's going on, but you can hear voices, right? You can pick up tension and things like that, right? Well, that's effectively where we are. Now, the first area that we can grow in is resting, right? Resting on God's Sabbath day. The second area that we can grow in is to understand that this earth belongs to the Lord and it goes through cycles and it is going to be, and it's already going through another cycle. Yes, they've commercialized all of this global warming, but then Somebody needs to turn to me and please explain why Jupiter, Saturn, Mars, all the planets are heating up at the same rate. Right? We're not doing anything on those other planets. So it's not mankind's fault. God is bringing his other star system in, and it will do the cleansing part that it will always do on this planet every 12,000 years. Right? And it will go back to the same state. Well, what does it mean for you? Well, you live for a very short period of time. Maybe at the most 70, 80, some people 100 years. But in the span of thousands of years, that really is just, it's a flash. It's not going to be something that lasts very long, physically. But your spirit is eternal. And so your emphasis needs to be not just how can I grow physically, but how can I grow me, the real me, which is a spirit? How can I grow me in an understanding of all these different things? And then how can I position myself in this environment that is changing? And here God gives the key. If you are resting on his day, you will be supernaturally strengthened and positioned. And the spirit realm will recognize that you are his because you are honoring him. You see, so many people, they'll go and sing songs about Jesus, but they do not honor God. They do not honor the Creator God. And by the way, Jesus is the Word of God, and he is the one that created, according to John 1:1, he is the one who created everything. So you're actually not honoring Jesus when you go against what's going on right up front here. So let's read this again. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. These the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused to rain upon the earth, and not a man to till the ground. Now, what's also really interesting to note here in this section is that people say, what came first, the chicken and the egg, or the seed or the plant? Right? In the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth. So he made the plant before it was in the earth. And every herb of the field before it grew. How does that work? How does it work that God could do this? You see, he created these things spiritually first. You look at a plant and you think, okay, that's a very nice plant. What you don't know is that there's a spiritual component to this plant. When Jesus said, let there be light, he spoke. The light wasn't there yet. He spoke, and then there was light. He spoke, and then there was light. So it's the same thing here. We see evidence here of speaking, and then things are. So the second area that you can grow in is to speak life into everything around you. Imagine it, picture it, and speak it. And you will need to have been resting on God's Sabbath day to have God's blessing and to have God's creation acknowledge that you have the right to speak things into it. Well, guys, not sure what Holy Spirit's speaking to you about, but if you're following along with us in the handbook, we have just started the last section and the last subject. So make your keywords in the second column and score yourself in the right. God bless and have an absolutely beautiful day.